You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
It is Monday, November 13th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Trump has a mid-Pacific trip meltdown. Meanwhile, the Republicans cut the rich's taxes plan, getting closer to passage. Tonight is whip night in the House. In Iran, along the Iran-Iraq border, massive earthquake kills over 400 people. Back in the States, Trump installs a tax-dodging expert as the head of the IRS. He's got a big question, too, whether or not to let Robert Mercer off the hook for $7 billion worth of tax liability. Wonder how that's going to play out. Meanwhile, in Alabama, Roy Moore defiant. Not the least of which because a significant percentage of Southerners and evangelicals are sociopaths. The Election Integrity Commission sued by an Election Integrity member. The federal judiciary will be the hidden disaster of the Trump era. And speaking of not-so-hidden disasters, we have midwifed one in Yemen that could be unprecedented. And in Poland, massive protests, or celebrations, I should say, seek to purify themselves of Jews and Muslims. Happy Polish Independence Day. All this and more on today's program. We'll take your phone calls and IMs early today, too. I think. I'm not going to promise. I'm in favor of it, but I can't promise.
Oh.
Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't.
In a certain sense.
We should say that there is reports that we're hearing that there may be another accusation about Roy Moore that will drop today. Unclear what that is. We'll see. We should also say that apparently Mitch McConnell, we don't have sound of that, do we? Mitch McConnell said, I think he should step aside as of today.
We have him saying he believes.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll play that in a bit. And I think it's because they're starting to see the same polling that others are seeing, which suggests that Roy Moore may be in trouble in Alabama. I don't see how they get him out of there unless it's like some type of very, very nice sinecure. Maybe like he ends up...
He actually did something nice for a black person once?
No. I'm saying that maybe they end up... I don't know what a guy like that would want other than probably it appears like to be set up in a nice job where he gets access to younger women.
He wants the
Senate. But I suspect that this is... There's not much else that he can
put you in charge of some hustler clubs.
Right, indeed.
Judge Moore. As long as there's a Bible nearby.
We will get to that in a moment. First, let's just play something that is sort of fun. So Donald Trump was at the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Summit. And apparently they do a special... I don't know, hug? They do like a sort of like their version. I know that I don't know what happens now, but certainly when back when I was 13 at all the bar mitzvahs, they would everybody would do the hustle, and everybody would put their hands on the shoulders of people in front of them, and then you I think you kick to the left, kick to the right. I'm not exactly sure what it was, to be honest with you, because I was a little bit anti-disco at the time. But be that as it may, apparently they do a version of this at the Association of Southeast Asian Summit, where they hold hands. Now, what do you do if the main stories are the ones I read off today, which involve a tax plan that cuts the taxes of the extremely wealthy in this country? You've got a Senate candidate that significant amount of the Republican Party is standing behind, even though it is clear. And we'll talk about that CNN. Do we have that CNN clip of the friend who said, yeah, I sent that to you guys. Of the CNN guy who friends. Oh, yeah, it was well known. It was always, we always thought it was weird that he liked younger girls. I mean, it's quite clear. What do you talk about? Well, do you talk about the fact that Donald Trump is getting on Twitter and calling the leader of North Korea fat? No, you don't.
He didn't call him fat. He held off of calling him fat because he's trying to be his friend.
Right.
Get your facts straight.
There you go. Do you raise the specter? No. What you do is you say he is being attacked because someone took a photo of him. Here is Fox and Friends delving into this thing. Going into the weeds.
It's no secret that the New York Times has not been very friendly to this president or to this administration. We have a perfect example. So the president was traveling or is traveling on this Asia tour. Look at this photo. This was published by the New York Times photographer Doug Mills. He tweeted out this photo.
Pause it.
And this was the.
I should just tell you that there is a photo of these leaders, including Donald Trump, in the middle. Crossing their hands. Apparently, he had a tough time crossing his hands doing this. He had to do it like two or three times. But that's not, you know, I guess that happens. But because he's standing next to because he apparently wanted to, because these things don't happen by accident, standing next to the mass murderer, right? I think it's fair to call this guy a mass murderer. Duterte. Of his own people. Trump can't reach him because he's short. And I guess they're both shorter than him on either side. And it appears as if he is hyperextending his shoulder. Like his shoulder's going to pop out. And so he's got a little bit of a face on that shows concentration. He's got a bit of an awkward grimace. And this, of course, is basically, according to these guys, well, I mean, let's listen.
A family photo of the president with other world leaders at the Association of Southeastern Asian Nations Summit in Manila. And if you watch the video, look at this picture. This, it looks like the president's uncomfortable. He's not smiling. But if you watch the video, do you see that face? I watched the video earlier, didn't even notice that. Look, he's smiling there. Hey, how you doing? Rachel. Talking to the guy and still smiling. They snapped the photo when he was making that interesting, awkward face.
Well, what's interesting about it is the same photographer who tweeted out that image of the awkward face, President Awkward Face, is Doug Mills, who on Friday posted just a blank frame because he said, this is what our coverage looks like today, no coverage. That was from the APEC forum meetings, and he was steamed about that. And so the Washington Post said, Monday, Mills got his revenge with the family photo, trying to make the president look awkward.
Right. In fact, here's what the Washington Post analysis said. The analysis from a story, not an editorial. Trump's awkward grimace reveals the messy reality of high-stakes geopolitics that an airbrushed official portrait of the family would gloss over. Photos like these can help remind us that there are different motivations at different levels of comfort on the world stage and at play behind the scenes.
Well, when you watch the video and you see that photo, it's obvious what they're doing. They're trying to portray him as being awkward, like they just said, and they want him to be remembered in right. this light.
Here's the thing. I think if there's anything that stands out about the photo, it's that Medvedev can't do it. He's standing like this. You're supposed to cross your arms. If President Trump had gone like this instead of like this, it would have said, oh, he thinks he's above everybody. It's his America first.
You know, ultimately, Brian, after what? The election, Mr. Medvedev would be more flexible.
Right, absolutely.
So yeah. Maybe
and bendable and lose
that.
His spot to Vladimir Putin. So, by the way, is it President Trump's fault he's 6'3"?
Deep cut.
Yeah, I mean, these guys... I guess we would need to do is ignore every single thing else. And if we ignored all those other things, then that picture would be the one that would label President Trump awkward.
Well, it's not the posture he's in when he's shaking Duterte's hand. That's the story here. It's that he's obviously excited to be positioned next to Duterte on stage.
This is the way this works. There is no way that was not a planned positioning. There is, when you take these photos, this is everything. Duterte takes that photo back and shows, look, Donald Trump straining to shake my hand. He's so excited. And that has real value to a guy like that. That's why it was such a big deal that he was invited to the White House. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about how there's a hit on Donald Trump. You're going to try and make him look awkward. My God. I want to touch on this. I don't have a lot to say about it, but it's an important story that in this era, we don't, you know, gets avoided easily. You are aware that for almost 2 years now, right? The Saudis have been bombing Yemen. Is it 2 years? It must be almost 2 years now. We, of course, have had our drone program, but there has been intense fighting where a Saudi-led alliance has been fighting the Houthis. And they have, the Sauds have established, I guess, in their coalition... has blockaded the air, land, and sea means in which to get food, I guess, to Yemen, among other things. Apparently, since then, the already inflated food and fuel prices have skyrocketed. And the UN now has warned... This is after a briefing at the UN Security Council on Wednesday of last week. The UN's humanitarian chief said we could be looking at a catastrophic humanitarian crisis that has pushed millions of people to the brink of famine. It will not be like the famine we saw in South Sudan earlier in the year, where tens of thousands of people are affected. It will not be like the famine... which cost 250,000 people their lives in Somalia in 2011. It will be the largest famine the world has seen in many decades with millions of victims. What did the UN Security Council do? Nothing. They are doing nothing about this blockade. And there's every reason to believe they're doing nothing about it, because two members of the council, and maybe others who are also hesitant, but two members of that UN Security Council are Great Britain and the United States. And we have certainly helped the Saudis in this assault on Yemen, and there's no reason to believe that our relationship with Saudi Arabia right now is not interfering in the Security Council's ability to react to what could be the worst humanitarian crisis in decades. We're just allowing maybe millions of people to die.
And just to be really specific, they're aiding the Saudis by, among other things, and the United Arab Emirates, who are also flying bombing missions there, with refueling specifically. So we're helping refuel these planes that are conducting these operations in Yemen, in addition to blocking any type of condemnation, obviously, on the Security Council. And in addition to, I think it was a couple months ago, approving a new sale of an incredibly sophisticated arms package to Saudi Arabia. So just to fill in some details.
And, you know, I mean, in this era, you know, stories like this get completely buried.
There's already a cholera outbreak.
And so, I don't know, it's at the very least, call your congressman, your representatives. I mean, I don't know, honestly, other mechanisms to create pressure. But if you're aware of one, send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. We're going to get to the where we are with the tax, the Republican tax plan. I think this is going to pass in some form or another. I think they're going to pass this. We'll also talk about Roy Moore in just a moment. I also want to get to the story about the tax dodger who has now been installed head of the IRS. And one of the big things he's got to do is sit down and figure out how is Mercer going to pay his $7 billion worth of tax liability. We may be looking on a pennies on the dollar type of situation.
Why doesn't he support Milo anymore? Maybe he should pay more of his bill back.
I, you know what? I have a feeling he probably is.
Probably. Oh, secretly.
Folks, have you ever walked by a newsstand, seen a stunning magazine cover that makes you want to stop and peek inside? You don't have time. Sometimes you're at the only time I get to look into magazines is, and check out magazines that I wouldn't normally look, is at the airport. If I get there early enough, right? You go, you walk through that, Hudson News. You look at the airport. Maybe that's just in New York.
That's a New York thing.
But whatever. They all have their own places. And you check out. Maybe you find a magazine you like. Well, you don't need to do that if you have Texture. The Texture app. Not only do you get a peek, but you get the whole magazine. Plus unlimited access to over 200 additional premium titles like Time, The Atlantic, The New Yorker, Wired, Family Handyman in my case. But you can look at magazines that you've always thought, yeah, I'd like to try, but I'm not going to pay that $8 for or $12 for that one magazine at the airport. You pay one fee with Texture and you get access to all these magazines all the time. Just imagine having your favorite magazines and their archives anytime, anywhere. To start your free Texture trial, go to texture.com/majority. If you choose to continue, my listeners will get Texture for just $9.99 a month. That's 30% off their listed price. $9.99 a month and you get 200 magazines. Do the math, folks. You're making money off of this practically. I mean, if you were to buy those magazines. I love Texture. I've talked about it before. There's a lot of features in there too that you can sort of create your own magazine. It's a great gift. Options are available also for the holiday season. Go to texture.com/majority. Start your free trial today. That's texture.com/majority. texture.com/majority. Folks, you know Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. I think I have, it escapes me now. What's that thing where Freud talked about? The Oedipus complex? I have it in reverse. And it's basically,
you want to kill your son?
Well, he's the only one with the Casper.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I don't want to kill my son.
Yeah, I would say, yeah.
But I would actually like to switch out.
You would like to kill your son's mattress privilege.
Yes. I would like to end his privilege over the Casper. And now Casper has three models. The original Casper, that's the one we have, which I think is fantastic. The Wave and the Essential. Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry or in my case, of your, you know, your child's. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. That's what I want.
Where's my body temperature?
It's delivered right to your door in a small, how-do-they-do-that size box. Free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. The best part? They give you Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. 100 nights! If on night 95 you say, you know what, 91 through 94 have been good, but this last night stunk, we're sending this back. They'll pick it up. They'll send it back, no cost to you. You spend one-third of your life sleeping. You should be comfortable. Start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. Get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/majority using majority at the checkout. That's casper.com/majority. Offer code majority for $50 off your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions apply. All right, let's get into this this story about the tax plan. Just briefly, I mean, this is going to be ongoing. And the tax plan right now, what it is largely hypothetical. The House has passed its bill. You know the basic outlines of this. A doubling of the exemption on estate taxes, and then ultimately a phase out. Huge corporate tax breaks. Also allowing people to take tax breaks on their pass-throughs. And then there's stuff like where in the House bill, you get taxed on tuition breaks that you may get at a school, which is just insane to me. Or if you're a teacher, you no longer get deductions for supplies that you spend in your classrooms. There are, they raise some of the tax credits for lower income people and middle income people, but it's basically a big giveaway to rich people. 400 millionaires apparently have said, we don't need tax breaks. Wake me when 400 millionaires write in to say, raise our taxes. Yep. However, 8.3% of taxpayers will pay more in taxes in 2019 and 22% in 2023 under the House bill. And I got news for you. Guess who those taxpayers are going to be? They're coming from the lower end of the income distribution. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
Why are they doing this? Why are they raising taxes? Why, what in the world, aside from being just a general a-hole, why would you actually raise, almost make being a grad student impossible? That's what they're doing. A big chunk of it is being a huge a-hole. The other part of it is they need to try and get to the point where this is deficit neutral beyond 10 years so that they can make these permanent because of Senate rules that we have talked about. I don't know if they're going to get there, but I think they'll take the 10-year tax cuts like they did during the Bush era. There is some concern by conservatives. Well, if you just let companies write off their capital investments for 5 years, it won't spark growth unless this happens forever, because they still believe in this magic Laffer curve thing. Republicans in New York, New Jersey, California, some in Illinois still are worried about the state and local tax deduction, but everything I've been reading suggests that the Republicans don't seem to care. Now, remember, they've passed the bill, but it's going to go to the Senate and then it's going to come back. So it's easier to take this vote right now, because it's going to come back. It's going to change in conference. but and they're doing a whip count in the House tonight. I don't know if they're going to take like some type of they have people vote on a bill or how they do that. But there have been reports that some of the New York Republicans have not been approached, which suggests that they have the votes they need in the House. The Senate doesn't allow for any deductions, even with a $10,000 threshold, because senators aren't as worried about these things as House members are. So the tax bill will see a vote in the Senate Finance Committee within the next few days. The House plans, I should say, to vote on this by the end of the week based upon what they see tonight in a test vote. And, you know, then it goes to, once the Senate passes, then it goes to conference. And I think there's going to be a big, I think there's a good chance that this thing is going to pass. The only interesting question is, and there was a New York Times piece about this, they are looking for a model put out by any economist. So if you're out there, this could be an enterprising situation for you. Any economist who can suggest that by cutting taxes, they will actually generate more revenue than they would have with taxes high. This is the Arthur Laffer Kansas tax plan. And they just want somebody who has a model that suggests that it will be there so they can try and sell this to what is the essentially the CBO so that they can make this tax cut permanent in the Senate. So the Times has a story about it because so far, their plans to cut taxes by $1.5 trillion over the next decade, they're trying to argue it's not going to add to the debt. Now, remember, it's not terribly relevant, at least in terms of the health of our economy, as to what is added to the debt. This is an accounting error. We've talked about this, or an accounting trick, because of modern monetary theory. It matters for two reasons, and we'll get to that in a moment. But the first, we'll get to the second one. The first one is they want to make these tax cuts permanent. They cannot do it because of the Byrd rule in the Senate with 50 plus one votes. If they can't show that it's deficit neutral, in other words, that it won't add to the debt. So they're going around looking for an economist who will employ dynamic scoring, which suggests that if you cut taxes, it will create economic growth. The economic growth will increase revenue over where it would be on taxes now because of the volume. So many more people are going to be paying taxes because of the huge economic growth that we're going to get, that the number of dollars coming in will actually be larger, even though we've cut taxes. This was the plan in Kansas, of course, and it failed miserably. In fact, it's failed to the extent that it's ever been tried. But it is the mantra that Republicans keep telling themselves so they can cut taxes. We'll get to the second part of this two-step, though, in a minute. As they search for these economists, they found that economists at Goldman Sachs said that they expect tax cuts to generate enough additional growth to offset about a fifth of their revenue losses. So yes, it's true. Tax cuts may create some growth, but not nearly as much as you would be, not nearly as much revenue as you would be if you're just taxing it. And certainly when you give tax cuts to the rich, it spurs growth even less because rich people don't spend that money the way that poor people would. Poor people would go out and spend it immediately. Middle-class people would spend it immediately. We all got checks for $300 during the Bush years. Did you know this? You get that check for $300 and you're worth millions or billions of dollars. Guess what you do with that check? You don't even know that it came. You, in fact, you'd probably fire the person who came to tell you, like, here, open this envelope. What? There's money inside. You just had me open an envelope to get $300? You're gone. You're fired. You want to see what I'm going to do with $300? I'm going to make you eat this check. Now, check eating does not contribute to the growth at all, folks, just in case you didn't know.
You're doing class warfare.
But here's the second part of the two-step, right? So they go in and they're going to get a model from some economist they can find at like Princeton or Harvard or Dartmouth or wherever it is that is also going to have a nice cushy job at some type of like right-wing think tank. They're going to come up with a model that gets them really close to it. They're going to hand that over to the parliamentarian to give it to the CBO. They're going to make the argument that this thing is deficit neutral. They're going to try and get permanent tax reform. Even if it's 10 years, they're also going to find a model that's going to suggest that it's much less. 3 years out, it's going to balloon the deficit and then increase the debt. And then the fix the debt people, when Democrats come in, if they come in 2020, are going to show up and they're going to say, we have a deficit and debt crisis. We must act right now and cut Social Security. That's how it's going to go, because that's the way it's went. And maybe we'll have someone like Barack Obama who will accept that premise, try and cut Social Security. Or maybe we'll have someone else who says, you know what, go F yourselves. Too bad, you know, maybe a Democratic Party nominee will run on a lockbox. That would be nice. But that's where we are now. We're going to have a whip count tonight in the House. We're going to have a vote in the House later in the week. I may have misspoken earlier and said that the vote had already taken. It's going to happen later in the week. Also later in the week, we're going to see the Senate Finance Committee. So we'll have a sense of actually what the bill is, at least going into conference. I mean, the Republicans are and here's the other thing to watch out for. They're going to pass something. And the conventional wisdom, the beltway media, the mainstream media, the corporate media, whatever you want to call it, is going to say, this is going to really help the Republicans in their reelection because they've done something. And I will tell you right now, it will ensure that they will get their donations from their donors. But frankly, no one's going to give a crap. It's not going to implicate the 2018. They're going to go out there and say, we did tax cuts, and it's going to be a liability. When people figure out that there is no such thing as, you know, there's no such thing as the death tax. And if you want to be accurate with the estate tax, you call it the wealthy estate tax, the extremely rich estate tax, the more money than 90% of you, at least 95, 98, excuse me, I'm misspeaking. I don't know what it is, but if it was today, it would be more money than 99.8% of you have in your estate tax.
It will help them keep campaign contributions going in. And
period.
That's why they
and they've said
it.
That.
And they've said that
they've
publicly.
They've been explicit about it.
And it's amazing. I forget who it was, but I watched. It was like some Don Lemon segment on CNN a couple weeks ago. I was on a plane. And this analyst that they had on, she was saying, they were showing that Trump's numbers amongst his base have dipped modestly. Very modestly. But that, of course, is a CNN segment. And she's like, well, you know, they're upset that he hasn't done tax reform.
That's just so
isn't that unbelievable. Incredible?
Unbelievable.
Contrary to all empirical indicators about these people.
But this is the thing.
Where they're awful to where they're justified.
And you would expect, you would think, right, that some Republican members of Congress are probably swayed by that narrative. And this is what we've said, and I've said this in the context of like the Russia stuff. There are some narratives that actually play with members of Congress that are only helpful for members of Congress. The rest of us are just sort of like, we're just along for the ride. We're just parts of the pastiche that make it more palatable to them. And this is one of them. This is just one that has been generated to get Republicans to vote for this. Because I don't know. If there's a decent candidate out there, you should be able to pound them over the head over this stuff. And Chuck Schumer is out there now telling moderate Democrats, people like Joe Manchin, Heidi Heitkamp.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
And I guess Donnelly and Tester to a certain extent, I think Tester's already...
That letter that I sent you, there's a Schumer letter outlining basically the Democrats' framework for...
This is from a while ago.
Oh, it's from a while ago.
That letter isn't that letter was from months ago.
Oh, my mistake. Anyways, the point is, though, is that Tester did sign it. The only three that didn't sign that later are Donnelly, Heitkamp,
and Manchin.
And
that letter was from a couple of months ago.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, it's still...
It might still be operative, right?
Well, I mean, it's operative in the sense that they didn't sign the letter. And those three are the three that have all been in play since they didn't sign the letter over the summer, I think it was. And that's why those names keep coming up every time. We'll see. I'd be surprised at this point if they sign on. But, I mean, that's part of the reason why, you know, if you're Mitch McConnell, you don't want Roy Moore in there. But, you know, people are like, but, you know, there'll be House members who are going to lose their seats. And the Republicans may lose their majority. I don't think they care. I think, and it makes sense. Like, you know, what is the Republican agenda? Like, why would they keep their majority if not to cut taxes on wealthy? Like, be like, is this the hill they want to die on? Yeah, it's the only hill. There's no other hills for them. Is this the hill they want to die on implies like, but they might want to go and fight on that hill and the other hill over there and the one down the road. There are no other hills.
Those hills are boring.
Those hills don't even exist. There is no other hill for them.
Well, in a certain sense, there's also criminal hills. There's, you know, Duterte gets to kill people on the street.
They could try.
And there aren't like think pieces in New York Magazine about it either. Just does it.
So
it's awesome.
I'm pretty confident it's going to happen. And they're bringing out the big guns, folks, to sell this tax plan. They need somebody who can go out there who is not establishment, but can get them to swallow the fact that children of millionaires and billionaires stand to make literally millions and billions of dollars. Billions of dollars in some instance. I mean, let's say you're the daughter, let's say, hypothetically speaking, of a billionaire, right? And dad's going to give you $1 billion. Right now, under the estate tax, the wealthy estate tax that we have, that daughter gets the $5 million tax-free. And then she's hit up with is it 40% now?
I knew tax it was 40%, yeah.
On the billion. So she only gets $600 million. That sucks. What you want is to get the full $1 billion without having to pay a dime in taxes on that. Now, that's only going to happen under these plans if your dad dies in, let's say, 6 years. So let's say your dad's like, I don't know, early 70s, and you're thinking like he's going to last another 6 or 7
taking
years,
a hike with him.
At least, yeah.
You're like on the slope, just like.
No, you don't even have to do that. I think maybe you just look at your dad.
I think a Big Mac.
Yeah. Dad, have a little bit of more McDonald's, not too much more. Who could we find with someone with that level of motivation to sell this tax plan? Oh, here we go.
If you look at the framework, if you look at the outline and how the House and the Senate work together to establish principles with the president and executing on the president's vision, which is really twofold.
Pause it.
How do we...
If you're just listening, it's the special advisor to the president, Ivanka Trump. Continue.
Executing on the president's vision, which is really twofold. How do we enable American businesses to be competitive in a global landscape and to truly thrive? And we're doing that through aggressive tax cuts for corporations and for small businesses. For small businesses, it's the lowest tax rate since 1931. So it's going to be an incredible boon to small businesses and to our larger employers as well. The second prong is to ensure that this offers middle-income families real relief. We're doing that through tax cuts. We're also doing that through keeping really important policies around the child tax credit. We're dramatically expanding that, and that's very beneficial to families, especially.
What does that mean? How much does that mean for a family who's watching right now?
So at least $1,600, the first $1,100 of which under the Senate plan is refundable. The Senate actually brought it up to $1,650, and I'm optimistic it only gets enhanced from here on out as they go to conference and potentially through amendment. So that's an enormous expansion of a credit that's incredibly valuable to parents at a time when they need more money in their pockets when they have young children. Yeah. We're also keeping the child.
Pause it for one second. I just want to give you a little bit of a scorecard here. Okay. So families, $1,600. The woman speaking, billions of dollars. With a B. To be fair, she's got other brothers, right? But she's the favorite. So let's just assume Tiffany, she gets like 1/25th, right?
Tiffany might almost get thrown into like Don Jr., upper middle class.
Eric, it feels like Eric is like sort of like, I would say he gets maybe 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Don Jr. gets 30-35%. And then I would say Ivanka gets 45% at least. So she's, indulge me here, folks. So let's say that Trump actually does have $1 billion.
Sure.
Okay. Let's just
sure,
say.
I'll
maybe,
say
let's,
it.
Let's say, maybe he does. Maybe
right,
he does.
Does that make you feel happy, big guy?
We lost internet, you guys.
Bear with us, folks. Technical
We're
difficulties.
Back. We're already, we're dealing now with the YouTube stream.
So assuming that Donald Trump is worth $1 billion, and we're doing him a little favor here, but let's assume he is, and assuming she's going to get 45% of that, she stands to make hundreds of millions of dollars. Does it matter? I mean, honestly, she's out there. She's so invested in this. And do you think it's because she cares about the average family getting $1,600? Or do you think that she cares because she stands to make $100 million if they can pass this thing? Continue.
Dependent care tax credit, which is great, particularly for working parents and disproportionately working mothers who need child care. And the cost of child care is enormous in this country. On average, 30% of family income goes to child care, which is unsustainable. So keeping that credit, keeping the adoption credit, doubling the standard deduction will provide enormous relief for so many families.
Right.
So taking that to 24,000 and 12,000 for an individual. So the purpose of tax reform is to provide middle income tax relief and to enable our businesses to grow and our economy to grow. And we think this is going to happen.
That's great. And one of the side benefits to tax reform is that I personally make hundreds of millions of dollars. So, but I did come out today early in the morning in New York to sell this to you. So,
Paul Ryan just released a video on Twitter a few moments ago where the tally runs up and it says an average family of four in America will save $1,200 on taxes. Now.
I mean, look, $1,200, it's nice to save that. And you could get to that $1,200 and not worry about the deficit, supposedly, by also not giving away hundreds of millions of dollars to literally, like, we could have one representative from every family who is going to get that type of relief, and you could almost fit them all in here. It's sick. It's sick. Have we heard anything else about Roy Moore? Are there any more?
Haven't seen it yet.
Not coming yet. But here is, and we do have Mitch McConnell, right, saying that he believes the women. I wonder why that might be. Why would it that Mitch McConnell would say this? Well, part of it is
woke as fuck.
He doesn't want, and he's so woke, but he doesn't want Roy Moore in the Senate. He just doesn't. And I think part of that is they're concerned about retaining the Senate. And so he is concerned that Roy Moore being in the Senate may actually hurt Senate pickups in the fall.
Oh, it'll be absolutely be a negative for national numbers, well, for Republicans in 2018.
I would also add that Roy Moore coming into the Senate is a threat to McConnell's leadership position. Roy Moore coming into the Senate is a threat to just about anything he wants to, even tax cuts.
He also doesn't respect my non-disclosed lifestyle or my Asian drug dealing in-laws. So there's a lot of objections that I have to Roy Moore. He's totally not with the times. And, you know, there's a lot of toxic masculinity he exemplifies.
It also may have something to do with, and it's a very hard argument to make, that we shouldn't believe it based upon this CNN, this CNN report.
Now, Alex, you're hearing about others that are coming forward to corroborate at least parts of this report, including a former co-worker of Roy Moore's.
That's absolutely right. A former co-worker who worked alongside Roy Moore in the late 70s and early 80s says that she believes these women. She was the deputy district attorney in Etowah County at the courthouse where Roy Moore was working. She worked alongside him, as I mentioned. Her name is Teresa Jones, and CNN reached out to her, and she told us it was common knowledge that Roy dated high school girls. Everyone we knew thought it was weird. We wondered why someone his age would hang out at high school football games and at the mall, but you really wouldn't say anything to someone like that.
Hmm. Yeah, sounds a little weird. There's going to be more coming out about Moore. And I don't think he's going to leave, though. So, you know, I think to a certain extent, you got McConnell there. There's no upside to Roy Moore for him at this point.
Or downside, not in a good sense.
Right. Here he is. Here is Mitch McConnell saying for the first time in his life that he believes a woman who says that she has been in any way assaulted by a man, or in this case, it was sexually molested. You can't give consent when you're 14. I hope I don't have to. Go ahead.
Or do you believe these allegations to be true?
I believe the women, yes.
Ever since the time of Eve, women have lied and deceived and brought us onto the wrong path. But there comes a time when, you know, even if they're all total bitches, they're right to right. And this will be our time. You'll excuse me, I have a meeting with my wife, quote unquote. Her dad and I have a meeting about a fentanyl shipment coming from Taiwan. She got some other things. There's a lot of balls I'm juggling.
Sean Hannity, meanwhile, in his defense of Roy Moore. And do we have any of that interview with him? Yeah. Sean Hannity had Roy Moore on. Is that what this?
No, this is him.
This, okay. So Sean Hannity had Roy Moore on, but he is now defending himself from charges. Now, Hannity either misspoke or was misunderstood, according to Hannity, and I think it's possible, where he suggested that it sounded like he suggested a 14-year-old could give consent to having relations. And what he said in his defense is that he thought it was a 16-year-old could give consent to dating a 32-year-old man or a 34-year-old man. Now, that is, I think, technically the case in Georgia. And that's important to note. But when your defense of charges that a sexual predator went after a 14-year-old girl is that, hey, the 16-year-old that he went after at that age was perfectly legal. When your defense for a guy from being, and first off, why does he believe the 16-year-old as opposed to the 14-year-old? Right? We have accounts of the 14-year-old telling people contemporaneously this. But he only believes the 16-year-old. Maybe the girl was lying. Maybe she wasn't even 16. I mean, why does he selectively choose to believe her? Well, I know why he does. But when your defense of a guy from not being a child molester with a 14-year-old is, but the other girl, if she's old enough to set the table, she's old enough to play. When that's your defense, you may have a bit of a problem. Here's Sean Hannity.
And other people just do it. Do some people do it for political reasons? How do you possibly know the truth? Except, okay, so the two other girls were older in this case. He was apparently like 32, and he dated one girl was 18. One girl was 17.
16.
They never said
he lied.
There was no sexual, there was kissing
Pause
involved.
Pause it. He lied. You know, it's funny because I remember Sean Hannity when he used to talk about Monica Lewinsky. He would lie about her age too.
Held it, and
he would
take
say
her
that
down.
She was a year younger than she was.
So somehow these ages are all going to meet in some type of median between.
It's a fluid, very fluid. You know, only 29. He was 29 when he lied.
Right, he was 29. She was, by the time he's in, it's just completely. It's like he was 28. She was 23. What's the problem?
Yeah, what's good?
One girl was 18. One girl was 17. Nope. They never said he did. There was no sexual. There was kissing involved. And then they're saying this one encounter with a 14.
And consensual.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is the big thing. But based upon his trying to minimize the creepiness, like, I don't know why, if it's no big deal, I don't know why didn't Roy Moore just run on that? No, I wonder if Sean Hannity get out there and go like, look, I would vote for a guy who seduced my 16-year-old daughter when he was age 32. And it's not like there's not a regular a pattern of this. So Sean Hannity lost some advertisers for this because some advertisers find it creepy to be advertising on a program that is defending somebody who is targeting young women at that age. And one of those people was Keurig. They make the one-off coffee machines. For a while, we were using one in here. Somebody sent me one.
I think Brendan's been using it again.
Well, he's using the big pot now because
Brendan's doing a lot. Threw a whole pitcher a morning.
But here it is, Sean Hannity now promoting people destroying their coffee makers. In fact, I think he's to say he's buying them to destroy them. But here is a deplorable who is going to set up his Keurig coffee machine in his garage.
And you really can't hit golf balls in an enclosed environment like this. So I believe this will work just fine. Now, first thing you want to do is set up your ball, get a nice wide stance. Get a good wide stance, take a firm grip. And you want a good full body turn, one piece takeaway, so that you can really crush this thing. Now here we go.
It's got a golf club. Seems to have a pretty good swing.
I believe that'll do it. Now, if you work with this club regularly, drink lots of black rock.
There you go. That's one example.
Someone there to clean it up, because that's such a loser move. He has to clean it up by himself. What a moron.
I came into the office early to put Sean Hannity's face on all the Keurigs this week, someone tweeted out. Someone made a video of someone throwing
It's that weird Canadian guy who's totally mentally sound.
This is so bizarre, but
was it you? You know, Hannity throws a football out.
Yes.
Is it you that told me that he used to be a tennis ball?
Oh, is that right?
And Ale, because Hannity actually like is more into tennis than football, and Ailes apparently was like, "That's a pussy sport."
That wasn't a profile of him.
There's doubt in my mind that is all like, let's throw the football so it just buffs you up a little bit.
Here's a football. Age of consent's 15. I'm a man.
All right. We got to take a break here, and we will head to the fun half. We still have more on more. We've got a great Vic Berger video.
Oh, this is the best thing. We should get to that promptly.
All right. We will get to that pretty quickly. And we will get to your calls. I'm sorry, folks. We got messed up by some technical. We're going to find out what's going on with that.
Yeah. Figure out what the
hell's going on. That's not good.
It's not good.
Like, do we know what time it happened last time? Well, we'll talk about this off show. All right, folks. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be on the fun half. Hey, just a reminder. It's your support that makes this show possible day in, day out. When I call our cable provider and start throwing my weight around about getting the internet service to be right, they get intimidated by when I tell them we have so many bosses here. I call up and I say, my bosses are going to get mad at you. You can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code majority, get 10% off. Hey, now is the time to go get your Christmas gifts. And hopefully we'll get the website up shortly, and we will have a more comprehensive list of our sponsors. But so you can go and shop at those places if you're in the market for those things, get some discounts. Also, if you purchase your stuff through any of the major online retailers, majorityreportkickback.com, always a nice place to visit for our affiliate links. And don't forget tomorrow night, TMBS. Who's going to be on tomorrow night? Do you know?
Ben Mankiewicz and Sarah Jones of the New Republic.
Ben Mankiewicz and Sarah Jones of the New Republic. All right, folks. See you in the fun half. 646-257-3920 is the number. C'est une poupée qui fait noir. C'est une poupée qui fait noir. Toute la journée.